Troy Axe murders were a familicide of seven individuals in Troy, Michigan, United States in September 1964. William G. Gravelin, a Royal Oak fireman, was convicted of slashing his cousin's wife in 1961 and was committed to the Pontiac State Hospital. After his release, Gravelin's wife asked for a divorce. Several days later, Gravelin killed his wife, their five-year-old daughter, and his five stepchildren. Gravelin killed six of the victims using a double-edged axe. He killed his daughter with a shotgun. He left handwritten apology notes on each of the bodies. Gravelin confessed to the killings but was initially found incompetent to stand trial and spent 3 years in a state hospital for the criminally insane. In 1968, after being found competent, Gravelin was tried, convicted, and sentenced to life imprisonment. William Glenn Gravelin was married to Betty Bentley. Gravelin became a fireman in Royal Oak, Michigan in June 1959. Betty had been married before and had five children with her previous husband. Gravelin and Betty had a daughter, Betty Sue, born in approximately 1959. In August 1961, Gravelin slashed his cousin's wife with a knife on a Monday afternoon. Gravelin used the knife to force the woman and her four-year-old daughter out of their house at 1058 Henrietta, Troy, Michigan. The woman screamed and Gravelin then slashed her behind her left ear, a wound that required five stitches. Gravelin was arrested the following day walking without shoes along Rochester Road near 17 Mile Road in Troy. Gravelin said he had been drinking and did not recall slashing the woman. He said he purchased a knife on the morning of the attack. Gravelin was sentenced to 3 years of probation and committed to the Pontiac State Hospital for treatment. Gravelin was initially released from Pontiac State Hospital on convalescent leave in April 1962. Having lost his firefighter job, he went on to work on an assembly line operated by Temprite Products Corp. in Birmingham, Michigan. A representative of the company described Gravelin as a good, steady worker. After an incident in which Gravelin was drunk, his wife had him brought back to the mental hospital in February 1963. He was released again on convalescent leave in July 1963, and he was officially released in July 1964. A neighbor recalled that Gravelin drank a lot, that he would go wild when he was drunk, and that his wife was scared to death of him. A week before the murders, Gravelin's wife asked for a divorce. Gravelin moved out of the house and moved in with his mother in Clawson, Michigan. On Sunday night, September 27, 1964, Gravelin, aged 30 at the time, took a taxi from Clawson to a location approximately 250 yards from his family's home in 2121 Garrison in Troy, Michigan. The taxi driver dropped off Gravelin at 11 p.m. In the early morning hours of Monday, September 28, 1964, Gravelin used a large double-bladed axe and a hammer to murder his wife and five stepchildren. His daughter Betty Sue was also killed. Unlike the other victims, she was killed by a shotgun blast. A pathologist placed the time of death at approximately 2 a.m. The axe was found under the house with human blood and hair on the blade. The bloodstained hammer was found in the bathroom. The seven victims were Betty Gravelin, age 40, Gravelin's wife, Betty Sue Gravelin, age 5, Gravelin's daughter, Ben Bentley, age 17, Gravelin's stepson, Judith Ann Bentley, age 16, Gravelin's stepdaughter, Dory Bentley, age 15, Gravelin's stepdaughter, Paul Bentley, age 12, Gravelin's stepson, and Walter Bentley, age 10, Gravelin's stepson. Each of the bodies was covered with a blanket. Three of the victims, Judith Ann, Dory, and Walter, were found in the living room. The bodies of his wife and two of his stepchildren, Ben and Paul, were found in bedrooms. His daughter, Betty Sue, was found in the bathroom with a Bible. The bathtub was half full of water, stained deep red with blood. Gravelin left notes of apologies written in torn scraps of paper towel on each of the bodies. To his five-year-old daughter, Gravelin wrote, "Susie, I love you with all my heart." The note to his wife was partly legible, but read in part, "Betty, I loved you, and Susie, most of all, I can't change it. But if I could, you know the answer. Please forgive me and let me just be you." According to the Associated Press account, the note read, "I love you, I'm sorry, I couldn't be helped." After the murders, Gravelin walked to a gas station location located half a mile from the house at the corner of 15 Mile Road and John R. An attendant at the station, Robert Hertzen, testified that Gravelin arrived at the gas station at 6:30 a.m., used a telephone and drank between 4 to 6 bottles of Coca-Cola. At approximately 8 a.m, Gravelin then took a taxi back to Clawson. He tried to kill himself, initially by ingesting sleeping pills and whiskey. When he failed, he purchased tile and bathroom cleaner with the intention of drinking it, but unable to do so, poured the corrosive liquid on himself, causing chemical burns to his chest. Later in the day, a motorist, Earl Stone of Hazel Park, saw Gravelin walking down the street and stopped to see if he needed help. Gravelin told the man he had killed his family and asked the man to call the police. Madison Heights police officer Ronald J. Pierce responded, saw Gravelin walking down the dirt road and asked Gravelin what happened. Gravelin told Pierce he had killed his family and asked to go to the police station. Police went to the home and found the bodies. Troy Police Chief Forrest O. Fisher testified he had never seen such a crime scene. Dr. Richard E. Olson, the chief pathologist who examined the bodies at the scene, said it exceeded anything that I have ever seen except in warfare. Even though Gravelin wanted to plead guilty immediately, the judge didn't see him competent for trial, and he spent about 3 to 4 years in a state mental institution before he was found competent for trial, in which he was eventually found guilty and sentenced to life imprisonment. Gravelin appealed on the ground that the sentencing judge should have given him credit for the time spent in custody. In March 1974, the Michigan Court of Appeal ruled that a mental hospital is a place of confinement and that Gravelin was entitled to credit against his sentence for the 3 years spent in the mental hospital. Don't know how that works on a life sentence, though. If you like that, then listen to our main show every Wednesday on all good podcast providers. It's Alive Alive, the really, really fake true crime horror podcast. All the guts and gore, none of the guilt. See you on Wednesdays.